This is Sarah Reichenader from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our third book of the 2016-2017 Book Salon season, King Lear by William Shakespeare. Today, I'm sitting down with Roland Green, the Mark Pigott KBE professor in the School of Humanities and Sciences, who selected this book for our community. Thank you so much for joining me, Roland.
Thank you, Sarah.
Roland Green is the Mark Pigott KBE Professor in the School of Humanities and Sciences and a Professor of English and Comparative Literature. Roland Green's research and teaching are chiefly concerned with the early modern literature of England, Latin Europe, and the transatlantic world. His most recent book is Five Words, Critical Semantics in the Age of Shakespeare and Cervantes. He served as editor-in-chief of the Princeton Encyclopedia of Poetry and Poetics, the most authoritative reference book on poetry. His recent essays deal with topics such as the colonial Baroque, Spenser's Faerie Queen, the Puritan poet Anne Locke, and Shakespeare's The Tempest. He is now at work on a book about the Baroque. Professor Green is the founder and director of Arcade, a digital salon for literary studies and the humanities. In 2015-2016, he served as the president of the Modern Language Association of America, the largest scholarly organization in the world. So Roland, can you tell me a little bit about why you selected King Lear?
Well, to me, King Lear is, of all of Shakespeare's plays, it's the one where he deals most elementally with questions of human nature. Who are we to each other? What does it involve for someone to have responsibility for someone else, whether it's a parenthood or kingship or that kind of a role? And how do we conduct ourselves in a world in which those roles are changing? And when I say it's the most elemental of the plays in which he does that, of course, Shakespeare's always interested in those questions. He's interested in the comedies. He deals with those questions a lot, obviously in a more optimistic spirit. But King Lear is the one play, I think it's not a coincidence because it comes at a certain moment, a crease in his career and also in English and in European culture, a sort of moment of transition. It's the one play where he strips away so many of the other elements that would distract from that, questions of historical background, because this takes place in a pre-Christian Britain that most of his audience can't relate to and can't apply much historical knowledge to. It's England, but it's not England because it's so far off in the past. And so he strips away everything that might distract from these kind of existential questions that he wants the audience to think about. And I chose the play in part because when you invited me to do this, I had just come from teaching it last spring quarter to a class of undergraduates. And one never knows in advance what they're going to think about a play like this. Only a handful of them had ever read it in high school, and they were completely blown over by what they kept calling the existential questions that this play raised. The fact that it touches so directly on so many basic human questions.
That's great. And do you have a favorite part of the story or a most interesting part of the story?
Well, if it's the play that deals in this elemental way with existential questions, for me, then the favorite part must be the scene, the long segment in the middle of the play in which Lear and the fool, his companion, who is a kind of court jester figure, but much more than that, go out into the storm. Because nothing else is left for them. They've lost everything else. Lear's authority has evaporated. He's at war with his daughters. And they go out into the storm, and Shakespeare strips away the kind of topography that would usually be part of a play, so that and you can imagine the staging of this originally. You know, it's a bare stage. It's nothing but a storm on a heath. And so it's just Lear, the fool, and nature nature in the form of a ferocious storm. And so the reflections, and then that's followed by a scene in which Edgar, who is the legitimate son of Gloucester, who's one of Lear's, you know, member of Lear's court. Edgar, who is shadowing these events himself and is part of the subplot of the play, appears to Lear right after the storm in disguise as a madman. And so that whole segment in which there's a kind of extended conversation between Lear and the fool, and then between Lear, the fool, and Edgar in the role of Tom of Bedlam, which is his name as a madman. It's a conversation in which a deposed king, a fool, and a madman discuss the state of the world. And that's about as close to the bone as it gets for Shakespeare in terms of showing how we get at the nature of the reality that we live in as individuals, as family members, as society members, to have those questions refracted through the point of view of those three perspectives is as close to the bone as Shakespeare ever gets.
That's great. I love that it's so relatable to anybody at any time.
I think it is, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. And so are there any particular issues or points of the book that you think our readers would be interested in discussing?
Well, I think a couple of things. One would be the nature of relationships in this play. It begins as the opening scene, the famous opening scene in which Lear proposes to divide up his kingdom among his three daughters based on how well they're able to express their love for him is a scene in which, as my students pointed out to me, it struck them right away. You have a king who is confusing his role as king, that is, as steward of the kingdom, with his role as father, so that he's crossing roles and bringing we would have a term for that, somebody who's unprofessionally bringing personal things into the professional realm, right?
Yes.
And so so that from that moment on, and what the play gets us to thinking about is the nature of the overlap or the lack of overlap between roles like monarch and parent, and the different ethical challenges that come with those roles, and how to in one way use them to inflect each other, because of course this play is written right at the beginning of the 17th century, in which Shakespeare's society had just come off the long reign of a queen, who Elizabeth I, who clearly thought of herself as exercising a kind of maternal role over the society, even though she was not a mother in life. And likewise, her successor, King James, had the same kind of paternal attitude toward his subjects. How are we to think about that? As how would we think about this if we were Elizabethans or Jacobeans, and how would we think about it now in the present day about the relationship between different versions of having responsibility over someone else, whether as monarch, as parent, and in other ways? That's one thing. The other thing is just that I find fascinating about this play is the way that it reflects a kind of creeping lack of certainty in that society that comes at the beginning of the 17th century. Elizabethan literature, Elizabethan plays, even Shakespeare's own plays from say 10 years earlier, are so much more charged with a kind of intellectual exuberance and the sense that so many things are possible in knowledge. You can find out so many things, and the world is available to be investigated and read and understood. After you get to the beginning of the 17th century, there is a kind of creeping uncertainty that comes into the intellectual life of this society, and in fact for most of Europe, and you start to see it in literary works like these that go back to very fundamental questions and don't offer us answers but pose very compelling kinds of questions. And so the signs of that in the play, particularly the way Shakespeare puts a lot of stress on, and by stress I mean like pressure, puts a lot of pressure on certain words over and over again that that he thinks are under a kind of intellectual pressure in the society. And the one I always am drawn to in this play is nature. Everybody uses this word. It means very different things to people at this moment. It's by no means a word that everybody in this society agrees on the meaning of. It is very much under construction, or rather being reconstructed as a term in this era. And so things like that, when one reads the play, especially if one reads it for the first time, and one notices that certain words come back again and again, and Shakespeare has a way of rendering them sort of luminous by using them not only a lot, but using them in contexts where he can sort of draw attention to them through an unusual usage, or putting them in the mouth of an unusual character, or something like that. And after a while, you notice patterns. So to anybody reading this play for the first time, or even reading it for the 10th time, I would say pay particular attention to individual words that seem to be calling attention to themselves. Because more often than not, those are places where Shakespeare is trying to make an intellectual point. And often it's about underlining this kind of question of uncertainty that's creeping into his worldview.
Thank you for sharing that. So thank you so much for sitting down with me today to introduce King Lear.
Thank you.
For our Book Salon community.
I'm going to look forward to this. Thank you.